Welcome to Living Waters Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this life-changing message.
If you have your Bibles, we continue with our series, Prepared for Battle. Oh yes, sorry, youth. You are released. I always forget to release the youth. You're no longer bound in Jesus' name. You are released in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as the youth go out, come with me, if you have your Bible, to Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 18. Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 18. And as I've said, this is part number 6 of our Prepared for Battle, in our Prepared for Battle series. And we will have to continue this next week as well. I don't really have much of a choice in the matter. So there you go. So it continues. But the good thing is that, it's never a good, I think we need to be ready just to work, to take our time and just go through the Bible for as long as it takes. Amen? Does that sound good? Because that's really what we should be doing. But there are other things that I'm saying, Lord, I really want to preach. And he says, no, you need to finish what you're doing, boy. You just don't argue with me. You don't argue with him. But we will finish it because we have to. There's other things that I'm already preparing, three sermons in the making at the moment. That's what I have concepts happening simultaneously before I come to the actual preparation of the sermon. At any given time, I have three sermons processing in my heart, not in my head, in my heart. It doesn't get to my head until I start to do the actual work of preparation. And there are things that the Lord is really, really wanting us to be aware of. But that's the same with this series, Prepared for Battle. And what I would encourage you, go over the material again, go over the video again, it's online. But with these two parts, this part A of part 6 and part B of part 6, which will be next week, you don't want to miss what God is saying. Amen. Believe you me, you don't. You don't. So I don't want to stress that anymore because time is already going and I need to. There's other things that we need to do today, this afternoon before we finish. But let's just read the word together. It says in Ephesians 6, 10 to 18, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Beloved Father, eternal Messiah, Jesus, precious and most glorious and holy, Holy Spirit, I thank you and we thank you for your presence with us today, both here in house, in person, and online. We honor your presence. We honor the holy hush of your presence. And we ask you even now to prepare the field of our hearts for the seed of your word. And as you prepare our hearts, O Lord, will you continue to prepare this messenger. Lord, I prepared your word. Now prepare me. Prepare me, Lord, to be the vessel that you have called me to be, through which you will communicate to all of us, including myself, the mysteries of and the riches of your hidden truth that is revealed to us even in this day. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for your holy presence. In Jesus' name. So let's do a quick recap. I just want to share with you a few of the previous thoughts that we've had. Now, each day that we live, each day that is ahead of us is one that is filled with incredible opportunities and potential, but also challenges and struggles. God has called and equipped each of his people to make the most of every opportunity to fulfill their potential and to meet and overcome every challenge and every struggle by his grace, wisdom, and power. But we need to be reminded today and always that the life of the believer, your life, is one that is marked by combat and conquest. It is one filled with battles and victory. Sooner or later, every believer discovers that the Christian life is a battleground and not a playground, and that he or she faces an enemy who is much stronger apart from the Lord. In Christ, we are undefeatable, but apart from Christ, we have no hope. We have no chance. The theologian Matthew Henry said this: we have enemies to fight, a captain to fight for, a banner to fight under, and certain rules of war by which we must govern ourselves. We were born again behind enemy lines. As followers of Christ, we have been deployed into hostile territory, a battlefield, a war zone. But not one that is physical, but rather one that is spiritual. And while we seek to make the most of every opportunity, fulfill our potential in Christ, and while we face every challenge and struggle with God's backing and support, the battle rages on. Now, this is a battle between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness, between the forces of heaven and forces of hell. And the main objective of this battle is to bring an end to Satan's plans, which is to destroy what God loves, mankind, and to take as many people with him to his final destination, which is hell. One of the greatest and most brilliant masterstrokes of the devil is to convince as many people as possible that hell doesn't exist. And many have believed this incredible deception. But I want to just remind you, it does exist. And it's as hot today as it was 6,000 years ago. And heaven is as glorious today as it was from the beginning of time, and even before that, as a concept in God's mind. There is a heaven. There is a hell. Only one of them was created for you and I, heaven. Only one of them was created for Satan and his fallen angels, hell. The anomaly lies with every single person who rejects this good news of the gospel. That's the anomaly. That is something that will happen that should never happen. And multitudes will end up in this place, not sent there by God. Or why will God send anyone? God doesn't send anyone to hell. By default, this is where we are heading. It is Christ himself who has come as the way to show us not a way out, but the way out. There is only one way out. He has come to show us not only the way out from this hellish motorway that all of humanity is heading down. He has come to illuminate the way by the light of that he is. Therefore, he is the light. And he has come to dispel every single lie and deception. And that's why he is the truth. And he has come to bring eternal life. And that's why he is the life that we must all have and that we must all live by. Now, based on what we've heard over the last few weeks, to be prepared for this and every spiritual battle, we need to be ready to do several things. Of course, we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We need to put on the full armor of God. We need to withstand or resist the devil by taking up putting to use the armor that we have put on. And then fourthly and finally, we need to stand firm. And this is what we're going to be looking at today and next week. Now, over the next, this today and next week, we're going to be covering four things. We're going to be attempting to answer four questions. Number one, what does it mean to stand firm? That's what we're looking at today. And then next week, number two, why must we stand firm? Three, where do we stand firm? And four, how do we stand firm? Church, again, I must stress, don't miss what I am sharing with you over the next couple of weeks, today and next week. Chew on it, digest it, process it, and apply it. Amen?
Amen.
I cannot stress that enough. Now, we've journeyed all the way through from Ephesians 10:18. And now we're going to pick out a few scriptures. One that we haven't covered at all, which is verse 18. We're looking at that next week. But right now, let's turn to Ephesians 6:13, I'll read from the Amplified. It says, "Therefore, put on God's complete armor that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger. And having done all, the crisis demands to stand firmly in your place." There is no crisis that Christ cannot overcome. I don't know what crisis you may be in right now, but whatever crisis you may be in right now, Jesus Christ is at the center of that crisis, not the author of it. He is the author of calm in the midst of chaos. He is the author of peace in the midst of perplexity. He is the author. He is the one who brings faith in the middle of fear. So whatever calamity you find yourself in right now, you need to be rest assured that Christ is there with you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. Now, when I was a boy, it's hard to believe, I was one once, and I am still of the same gender. I'm just checking. I haven't changed. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, believe it or not, I was quite strong-willed. I'm going to thought for 1 second. Amen. I rarely back down from a fight. But there were times when I did just that. Usually because I knew that I wasn't going to win. It's called wisdom. And in some cases, I did this because I was actually intimidated by the person that stood in front of me. But those moments didn't break me. They made me. They made me stronger. They made me more resilient. Even though I didn't know it at the time. Every bit of rubble and rubbish in your life is what the Lord is using to design the beauty and the majesty of your house. The house that he is building that represents the very essence of your life. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where it was literally all on you to get it sorted? Where you had to stand firm. You had to stand your ground, either to protect yourself, a loved one, a friend, or even a stranger. Now, some of us are able to stand firm when faced with opposition, and some of us, not so much. To the former, I say, stay humble. And always remember that your strength is from the Lord. But to the latter, I say, that the thing that will try to break you is the thing that God will use to make you. To make you stronger. To make you more resilient. So wherever you find yourself today, maybe standing firm is not a problem for you. Or maybe it is. Either way, what you need to understand is that we are all spiritual Davids who have been called and anointed by God to stand firm against the spiritual Goliaths who seek to take us out. But remember, no matter how mentally or physically strong or weak you feel today, none of these attributes are enough to prepare you for the spiritual battles that lie ahead of you. So the purpose of this message, today's message and next Sunday's, is twofold. To encourage you to stand firm regardless of what's coming down the road, and to equip you with the knowledge of how to do just that. So the question that we're going to be trying to explore today and trying to answer today is this. What does it mean to stand firm? What does it mean to stand firm? We return to Ephesians 6:13. Again, I read from the Amplified. Therefore, put on God's complete armor. Not some of the armor, complete armor. That you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger. And having done all, the crisis demands to stand firmly in your place. Now, to stand firm means to be steadfast. It means to be faithful, committed, dedicated, uncompromising, unswerving, unyielding, and determined. As a people of God, we have been instructed to not only withstand or stand against the enemy, but to stand firm. And there is a difference. To stand firm, to stand against the enemy means to withstand or to resist the enemy's advances. It means to push back and take back the ground that the enemy has stolen. Now, I'm not going to get political here, but some of you remember the riots of the 80s, like the miners' riots and all also in the 80s, late 70s. I don't know what was going on in this crazy country. It was people, everybody was fighting everybody. But you remember those scenes where on one hand you had those who were the rioters, and on the other hand you had those who were part of the, in London, the Metropolitan Police. And you had the guys who were rioting angry. They were angry, you know, and they were throwing things and they were having a go. But then on the other side, you had the police, and they had to be disciplined. They had to be in formation. They were fully uniformed and kitted out. And what did they have? They had their batons. They had their shields. They had everything. And what did they do? In most cases, sometimes it went a bit ridiculous, but in most cases, all they did was to do what? They just stood. And then they did what? They stood together, that's right. And then they did what? They just stepped forward. They just kept on moving forward. And as they moved forward, in most instances, those who were throwing and everything else recognized that these guys weren't breaking formation. These guys weren't backing down. They are here to bring order in our chaos. We are angry. We are vengeful. But these guys have a job to do, and they are coming. And that's all they did. They just kept on marching forward. And in most cases, the other side will back down. You see, to withstand or to resist the enemy is to do just that in the context of spiritual battle, of spiritual warfare. It is not to get overly excited and to start throwing everything out and losing self-control, but it's to be disciplined, knowing who you are in Christ, knowing that you have all the equipment that you need, knowing that you have all of the protection that you need, but most of all, knowing that you have all of the authority to stand and to withstand the enemy and to push him back. And all that God needs us to do is just to keep moving forward. Recognizing that you don't, it's not the black uniform of a police officer. You have the armor of God. You are clothed with Christ. You have the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon you. It is not a plastic shield that you're walking around with. You are walking around with the shield of faith. It is not some kind of truncheon that you're walking around with. You are walking around with the sword of the Spirit. And it's not some common man's authority. You have the authority, the delegated authority of Almighty God to be in that situation, to be in that fight, and to say to that devil, back up now. You need to back up. Back away. Back away. And you see that, church? And that's what it means to withstand him. But to stand firm means that you're not just taking ground. You're keeping the ground that you've taken. Because this is where we go wrong. We do all our spiritual warfare and we think we've taken ground. Maybe we have, maybe we haven't, we don't know. But somehow we don't have the foresight, we don't have the insight to recognize the need not only to take ground, but to keep hold of the ground that we have taken. Amen. To keep the ground that you have taken means to gain a strategic advantage or a strategic foothold, as it were, from where you can make further advancements. For example, the enemy might seek to attack your mind, but what he really wants is your heart. And he wants your heart because he wants to limit your faithfulness. Your mind represents one battlefield, whilst your heart represents another. The Lord has great plans for both, but so does the enemy. You may be able to stand against him when he tries to attack your mind, and this will be a great victory. But you can't stop there. You need to learn how to not only take the ground that he has stolen, you need to learn to keep the ground that you have taken. And from that place, you need to learn how to strategically protect the rest of your person. But don't just stop there. You need to learn how to strategically protect your marriage, your family, your relationships, your finances. But don't just stop there. You need to learn how to strategically protect your church, your town, your city, and even the very nation that we are part of. We need to learn how to strategically protect all these areas and more from any further advancements of the kingdom of darkness. And then you rinse and repeat. You withstand him, take ground, stand firm, keep the ground that you have taken. Then withstand him again and take more ground. Church, I pray that you are seeing this. I really, really do. Because the time of Christian passivity has got to come to an end. We are not a passive people. This is not... War is not passive. Church, if for whatever reason we are not taking ground, then we are losing ground. And if we are losing ground, then our capacity to be fruitful agents of transformation will diminish. We cannot make any spiritual advancements until we have made a spiritual stand in the face of every kind of demonic adversity. I'll say that again. We cannot make any spiritual advancements until we have made a spiritual stand in the face of every demonic adversity. before we even start to bind and loose concerning our nation, what is happening with our own lives? What is happening at this level? If we are trying to fight and to gain ground concerning our nation, concerning our town, concerning our bay, how much ground are we losing personally? Because we have allowed the enemy to run wild and to run loose over our thinking, over our hearts, over our mindset. Oh, Jesus. So if we don't want this to be the case, we need to stand firm. We need to be steadfast, immovable, uncompromising, unchangeable. We need to be a people who are truly immovable. Truly immovable. And that is the second thing that standing firm means. Standing firm means to be steadfast, but standing firm also means to be immovable. 1 Corinthians 15:58. If you have your Bibles, turn there with me. 1 Corinthians 15:58. It says this, 15:58. It says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be firm, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, always being superior, excelling, doing more than enough in the service of the Lord, knowing and being continually aware that your labor in the Lord is not futile, it is never wasted or to no purpose." Hallelujah. The original word there used there for immovable in the original Greek is without movement or change of status. Without movement or change of status. As followers of Jesus, we must stand firm. As followers of Jesus, we must be immovable. To stand firm means to be without movement or change of status, regardless of life's challenges. Amen? Yeah. When it comes to the service of the Lord, when it comes to our walk, our worship, our witness, our watch, our warfare, we are to be superior. Oh, when I read that in the text, because that's what it says, I had to sit back and say, "Lord, help me understand this one." And praise God, he did. That's why you don't rush the word. That's why you stay in it until God speaks. That's why you stay in the word until Logos produces Rhema. We are to be superior. We are to excel, doing more than enough. But above all, we are to be without movement or change in status. And let's just look at this word, superior, used in this context. Is it just being superior as in one person being better than, or one group? Absolutely, has nothing to do with that. Let me give this to you to help illustrate this. Superior here means superior in quality. The difference between a genuine Rolex. Anyone has a genuine Rolex? I'll be your new best friend. Only for good reasons, obviously. Amen. The difference between a genuine Rolex and an imitation is that one is real. And the other, of course, is fake. One is expensive and the other is cheap. A real Rolex is expensive because of the time, labor, and costs that goes into making it. The imitation Rolex is cheap also because of the time, labor, and costs that goes in making it. Therefore, it is inferior in quality, while the Rolex is superior in quality. Amen? Can you see that? All right. Now, in the same way, the quality of our service to our God must be superior and not inferior. In fact, the offering of our very lives to God in his service must be superior and not inferior in quality. He deserves the best we can offer him. Amen? Do we agree with that? He deserves the best that we can offer him. But our ability to offer a service to God that is superior in quality is determined by the amount of time, labor, and the cost that must go into it. Amen? Amen. He deserves our best, and he deserves our all. Church, when it comes to our walk, when it comes to our worship, when it comes to our witness, when it comes to our watch, which is our prayer life, when it comes to our warfare, may we offer a service to God that is, may we not offer a service to God that is a cheap imitation. May we not offer something to God that costs us nothing. May the offering of our worship and of our very lives be superior in quality and not inferior. Amen? The theologian J.C. Ryle said this: there is a common worldly kind of Christianity in this day, which many have and think they have enough. A cheap Christianity which offends nobody and requires no sacrifice, which costs nothing and is therefore worth nothing. The German martyr Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this: salvation is free, but discipleship will cost you your life. This isn't feather dusting preaching, is it? Are we okay? As they say, this is not feather duster preaching, because you're not going to be using a feather duster on that day that you need to fight. You're going to use a sword. You're going to be a sharp sword as well. Your armor is going to be ready as well. Amen? Why? Because you would have taken the time to say, Lord, I'm going to do the work. I'm going to get into that place of labor. I'm going to labor for what needs to be birthed. I'm going to push for what needs to come out. I'm going to pay whatever price, whatever cost. I'm going to put the time into getting myself into a position where, Lord, my life is a pleasing offering to you, a living sacrifice that is acceptable to you. Church, we are to excel, doing more than enough. But above all, we are to be without movement or change of status. You see, one of Satan's key strategies in spiritual warfare is to use his deception, accusation, and temptations to get us into a place where we feel that the only thing that we can do concerning our ability to serve God and to bless God with our lives is to cut corners, to utilize less time, to employ less labor, to release less cost in the manufacturing, as it were, of our service to our King. But this is why we must resist him. This is why we must withstand this devil. We cannot let him do that. And God says that I have given you everything for life and godliness. You lack nothing for your life to be a true, surrendered, and living sacrifice to me. Our capacity to serve God and one another should not diminish for one iota because of our circumstances. God's expectation of us is that regardless of what we may be facing at any point in our life, is simply this, is that we are faithfully and continually seeking to excel in our walk, in our worship, in our witness, in our watch. Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Jesus says to his disciples, stay here while I go there to present myself to my heavenly Father as one who is about to become the sacrifice of all of humanity. And I am going to take every single sin of every single human being, past, present, and future, and I'm going to allow that sin to be placed upon my life. I will take all of their sin and I will give them all of my righteousness. And this is going to be a really, really hard time for me, guys. I'm going to go through the kind of emotional trauma that no one will ever experience. This is going to be almost unbearable to the point where I even sweat blood. I just need you guys to stand with me and to watch with me. But my guys fell asleep. You can say, well, come on, they're human beings. Just give them a break. They were tired. They had wine. They had the Passover wine, and they were filled with grief and all the excuses. But my guys fell asleep. When master said, stay awake and watch with me, my guys fell asleep. And church, you've got to understand this now. We can line up 100 million excuses. Why not? But not one single excuse will justify. Why not? Amen?
Amen.
We're almost there. God's expectation is that when it comes to his service, we are to be superior in quality. We are to excel, doing more than enough. But above all, we are to be without movement or change of status. In other words, we are to stand firm. And we are to be immovable. We have got to be at our station. You've heard this before. It's great illustration. Even Tim has used it before, but I'm going to use it again because it is so poignant. Captain of a ship looked into the dark night and saw faint lights in the distance. Immediately he told, can I have the keys back, please? Immediately he told his signalman to send a message. Alter your course by 10 degrees south. Promptly, a return message was received. Alter your course by 10 degrees north. The captain was angered. His command was ignored. So he sent a second message. Alter your course by 10 degrees south. I am the captain. Soon another message was received. Alter your course by 10 degrees north. I am seaman third class Jones. Maybe he was Welsh. Immediately, the captain sent a third message. Knowing the fear, listen to this now. Knowing the fear that it would evoke. Alter your course 10 degrees now. I am a battleship. The reply came back, alter your course 10 degrees north. I am a lighthouse. You see, because a battleship might be formidable, but it's just a hunk of metal, isn't it? Floating on what? What's it floating on? Aha. A lighthouse might just be a little bit of lighthouse, but church, where is a lighthouse built upon? Oh, come on, church, wake up! Where is a lighthouse built upon? It is built upon the rock. Hallelujah! Oh, sound team know when to turn me down. Because I ain't going to turn my voice down. This lighthouse, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You are a city on a hill. And this lighthouse is built upon a rock. And this rock is Christ Jesus. And the intimidator comes and says, see, I see you. You're not the real thing. You're an imitation. He's a liar. I see you. And I'm telling you, you need to alter. Change your course. Because I'll take you out. No, you devil. You change your course. I'm not moving. I'm not on my own either. I've got my brothers and sisters in Christ with me. And I'm not moving. And even if I'm on my own, there is an angelic host alongside me. They're not at my level. Oh, church, I'm coming to this next week. They're not at my level. But they are my backup. They can't do what I can do. They can't say what I can say. They can't go where, oh, come on. Okay, fair enough. I'll just call it a day. Maybe you're tired now. Yeah, it's all right. It's all right. It's okay. He says, alter your course. I'm not altering my course. Whatever happens, church, don't alter your course. I'm going to touch on the rock next week. I'm going to speak on that next week. When the enemy tries to use life circumstances to intimidate you and force you to move, don't move. Stand your ground. Stand your ground and implant yourself in that rock. Don't, before you even start to feel condemned, oh, my life isn't good enough, my offering isn't good enough. I know that I've given you some deep truths to chew on, talking about whether our service is acceptable and it is the genuine thing or it's fake. I'm telling you as it is. Now the challenge, church, is for you to be honest with God and say, God, you search me, you examine my life. If what I am bringing to you has been based on me employing my limited resources because I have allowed life circumstances to lead me to a place where that's all I can do, then God have mercy upon me. Because listen, church, you got to understand, you may have issues, but don't let your issues have you. Oh, you may have issues, but don't let your issues have you. The only person who has a right to have you is Jesus Christ. And if Jesus Christ has you, no issues that you might face will ever have you, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Stand your ground. Stand your ground. This enemy wants you to stop praying, but don't stop praying. Don't move. Don't change your status. He wants you to stop coming to church like too many are. May God have mercy upon us. I wish I could remove myself from this privilege of being pastor, because you say you're only saying this because you're a pastor. May God have mercy upon us. We keep on living this Christian life like it's our choice. We keep on living this Christian life like we have a say, like it's our choice. The only time that fellowship is pure when a life is truly surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And when our lives are surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, everything that pertains to our lives are aligned with the reality of heaven. And church, when that happens, no matter what gets thrown at you, you will not be moved. He wants you to stop going to church. Don't stop going to church. He wants you to stop serving. Don't stop serving. Don't move. Don't change your status. He wants you to stop worshiping. He wants you to stop praising. Don't stop worshiping. Don't stop praising. Don't be moved. Don't change your status. He wants you to stop being generous, but don't stop being generous. Don't stop being generous. He wants you to stop telling people about Jesus, but don't. Some of you need to start telling people about Jesus. He wants you to stop telling people about Jesus, but don't ever stop telling people about Jesus. Why? Because if we stop, he wins. But if we don't stop, church, he loses. Hallelujah. In Christ, you have what it takes to stand firm, to be immovable in the face of every advancing force of darkness. But now the question is your life built on the rock? And that's all I have to say today. By the grace of God, do with it as you please. I have dispatched my duty and my responsibility. Amen. Amen.